Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's jump in right away. Let's bring in the former NFL MVP and one of the best analysts regarding the game of football at the professional level. My friend Rich Gannon is here. Rich, like all guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. I want to get your thoughts as a man who played the game at the highest level, went through a number of injuries, because this Carson Wentz debate has broken out this week with the announcement of season-ending surgery. And the fact that he was injured weeks and weeks ago with his non-throwing arm, with significant left shoulder injury, torn labrum. We all watched the game against the Chargers last game where he was in a great deal of pain. And the debate has taken place on, wait a second, KOC is this culture guy. He's trying to bring some humanity to it. Did Kevin O'Connell, someone I know you respect a great deal, did he potentially put Carson Wentz in a position where, of course, a quarterback is not going to take himself out, but should the head coach have protected him, in this case Wentz, more than he did?
Well, I think there's a number of factors. I think, you know, it's always the player, particularly at that position, Chad, as you know, guys don't want to come out of the game, right? I think you look at leadership and toughness and all the things that go into playing the quarterback position. And I think you're talking about a quarterback that's been on six teams in 6 years, right? So he wants to hang around.
Right.
And he sees this opportunity with J.J. McCarthy's sideline. He thinks, you know what, this is an opportunity for me. And so, you know, I've had that injury. It's very painful. It's difficult to sleep. It's obviously difficult to play with. Mine required surgery as well. And you got to give the guy credit for trying to tough it out. And I think it'd be hard pressed to say, well, the coach put him in a bad spot. I think the fact that, you know, you're playing without Darius Hall for a good portion of that game, not having Brian O'Neill, that didn't help. The protection wasn't great. They weren't running the ball. They fell behind. It's just a trickle down effect. I think on top of that, you got to rely on your orthopedic surgeons, your team doctors, trainers to make those decisions to say, you know, we're going to put him in a harness. He's able to play. It's his decision. I think those are the conversations that take place during the week.
Okay, when other players see this, and they probably knew more about this than the public did, to what extent on all of the injuries related to Carson, I don't know. But is there any concern that other players might see this and say, you know, I really like KOC, I really like the way they've approached it, but man, he put him in a spot and doesn't make anybody think, now wait a second, maybe this isn't quite what I thought it was.
I don't think so, because I think he's got a track record with that football team in terms of how he treats the players. I think the communication is really important. I'm sure there's a lot of conversations that took place prior to, Carson going out and playing, and afterwards, you know, I think good PR staffs and I think good organizations take a look at, you know, what's being said. You know, what are we hearing on the street? What's Chad talking about? What are the talk show hosts talking about? What's in the paper? What's the story? Because they know that the players hear that too on social media. So you got to make sure internally, let's address some of the concerns. Let's address some of the issues that are out there, so that everybody on this team is on the same page. We're not going to put our players in harm's way. Players make personal decisions based on all the information that they have. We make personal decisions as well based on the information we have from our trainers and everything. If it were his throwing shoulder, he probably could not have played. It was his left shoulder. I give the guy a lot of credit. He's a tough guy for trying to play. I think it was just a calamity of errors in terms of, you know, not having Darrisaw and O'Neal and falling behind and not able to run the football. It just turned into an absolute train wreck against the Chargers.
Okay, McCarthy, you've watched him a little bit. We've only watched him a little bit. You watched him some at Michigan. Now they go and play a team that probably right now, maybe they're right with the Packers as the two best teams, the NFC. Outside of just a win and playing well, what would be success for J.J. McCarthy this Sunday?
I think they've got to find a way to slow the game down for him. Watching the first two games, it was very apparent, and you and I discussed this the last time we had our match where we rinsed Steiner and Fernie.
I haven't even begun to spend all that money. I mean, we beat them so badly. I mean,
it was bad.
I felt bad for them.
But you remember that conversation, because I was basically saying, Chad, it's like when you're 16 years old and you get your driver's license and you get behind the wheel of a car, everything's going fast. You know, you can't, you know, all you're doing is just, you're just trying to pay attention to what's right in front of you. And I think when you watch the first two games of the season, it was very apparent that the game was going way too fast for him. So you hope he's had a chance to go back and digest those first two games. You hope with all the treatment he's got and the fact he's able to watch. And it's really, to me, it's about letting him go out and have a clean performance, taking care of the football, making good decisions, playing fast from under center, you know, going through your progressions, knowing where the quick answer throw is, just playing with some confidence, right? Using your legs when appropriate, not taking the unnecessary hits, trusting the defense is starting to get healthy. You get a chance to get Van Ginkle back and Cashman and let those guys do their thing and Grenard. And I think you got to play well up front. I think the fact that they're getting healthy and you have a good chance you'll have the offensive line intact. Mm-hmm. They got to be able to run the football, though.
Yeah.
And what they cannot afford to do against this group is fall behind by a couple scores. If they fall behind by a couple scores, it could be a train wreck this weekend.
This is Rich Gannon. When the host hit a good drive and then hit the approach shot well left, what did Rich Gannon do for us to seal the victory? Got up and down for par. I mean, got up and down for par to win. I don't know.
You and I are a great team. We've got to start playing. You know. At times, though, I feel a little guilty. It's kind of like taking candy from a baby with first those two guys. It didn't quite seem like a fair fight, but that's just me.
Yeah, I didn't mind, actually. Sometimes
you've always been known as a bully on the golf course.
Yeah, sometimes
that's the scouting report. That's the scouting report on Chad Hartman on the golf course. He's a big bully.
Yeah, when you know in the wild, when the big cougar sees a wounded animal, the cougar attacks the wounded animal. It doesn't like cuddle with them, and that's what we did. You know, I thought Fernie held up well. Steens was very sad. It was very, very sad.
Okay. predictable, really.
Exactly. Now, on stopping the run, what has happened with this team? Last year, I know Harrison Phillips and Bullard and, secondary is a little bit different, but last year they were among the best at stopping the run, and this year, Rich, it seems to me, and you know this a thousand times better than me, a lot of teams are just saying, we're going to make two tight ends, and we're going to run it down your throat, and they're doing it on a regular basis.
Well, just look what the Chargers did to them. I mean, they roughed them up. They bloodied their noses. And I think, you know, you look at the Lions, and you say, whoa, hold on a second. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. They've got David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They're two very different backs. And an offensive coordinator is not afraid to lean on the running game, the play-action game. This is a really good offense. It's going to require everybody's attention. It's going to require them, you know, matching the physicality. I just think getting their guys back, I think, you know, the fact that they're in this position right now, at sitting at 3-4, this is a critical got-to-have-it game for them. And on top of that, you know, you've got let's be honest, you've got a little bit of an issue with the quarterback. You know, there's a little bit of uncertainty.
Yeah.
There's the unpredictability. We haven't played. So what do we got to do defensively? Well, we can't let them score 35 points. We have zero chance.
None.
We've got to be able to be aggressive. We've got to be able to create some negative plays. We've got to be able to turn the ball over, take the ball away. and we've got to be able to help our young quarterback. Rushing differential will be a big story in this game. You know, you look at the struggles the Vikings have had running the football. They didn't run the ball very well the other night against the Chargers. I think they were held to 34 rushing yards. That's not going to get it done. You know, you look at rushing differential. The Vikings have to win the rushing battle against Montgomery and Gibbs. I don't know if that's possible.
Couple last points with Rich Gannon. We'll let him go. He's great. We're always lucky to have him on. In town, it's never going to end. And nationally, now he pops up almost every game now. Not Daniel Jones, even though Daniel Jones is playing great. But if Daniel Jones had a chance to go somewhere and feel like he had a better chance over J.J. McCarthy, I don't fault him in any way. And it's worked out great for him. But the Darnold debate, my contention is, Rich, if he plays close to the level he played throughout most of the regular season in either the game at Detroit, which would have given them home field, or in L.A. against the Rams, he still would be here. But he wasn't even close to himself in either game. In hindsight, do you think they blew it? Is it way too soon? What are your thoughts on that?
It's a really tough spot to be in because he had a really good year. He earned the money. He knew there was going to be a big contract out there, and he got it in Seattle. And he's actually played really well out there. So I talked to John Schneider, general manager, the other day. They love him. He's completing almost 69% of his passes. They're 5-2, and he's playing really, really well. So, you know, they feel like they found their quarterback of the future. I think the Daniel Jones one was interesting because, you know, here's a guy that was in the building for a while. You got a sense of who he was. He's having an MVP-type season with the Colts, and he signed a one-year, $14 million contract. The problem is you draft this quarterback and you really like him, and you know he's going to be healthy by training camp, and you're kind of invested in him, and you say to yourself, wait a minute, we just took this kid in the first round, and we're going to pay somebody $35 million a year to be our quarterback? Wait a minute. What? So they were really in a kind of a catch-22, and to make matters worse, he got off to kind of a rocky start, and he got hurt again. The question is, can this guy, he's been hurt twice now. And to play that position, to play it well, it's not just about ability, it's about availability. You've got to line up and play each week. That's going to be key the rest of the way for J.J. McCarthy.
In a couple months, when we see each other out in the desert, let's find a couple more pigeons and have success.
Sold. Sold, sold, sold.
Thanks, my brother. See you soon.
You're the best.
He is great. You can check him out, Sirius, on a regular basis there. And anytime we have him on, we get great information from Rich Gannon. One of us, he's just another guy, came here, bounced around the league way too much. Denny started Sean Salisbury. Denny, very good coach. Once started Sean Salisbury in a playoff game against Rich Gannon. First of all, no comparison between the two as human beings, and then as quarterbacks. Bounced around, finally started to have success in Kansas City. And then he's the MVP in the with the Raiders. And then they got boat raced by the Buccaneers, his former coach. How weird is that story, too, where young Gruden is imitating Gannon the week of practice for the Super Bowl?
I forgot about that.
Because he knew his mannerisms.
Yes, that's right.
But here he is. He's got all these places to go, including where he's from the East Coast. Where is he?
Right back here.
Right back here.
Why would you leave?
We're like a spider's web.
Apparently, we've got the greatest golf in the world, too. It's all you guys do.
Well, all we do is win. We play. Because we played Steens and Hunt. Another couple bozos, you know, different bozos, and we put them to sleep. In fact, Keegan Bradley should have picked us. Got to be honest. Keegan Bradley. My friend, German, again, I'm Team Europe Ryder Cup, recently gave me a caricature. Do you like kind of the caricatures, you know, when the artists offer them up?
Yeah, like the thing you can find at Valley Fair or something like that. You sit
exactly.
down and, way.
It's Rory and Shane Lowry giving the middle finger.
That's pretty funny.
That's going up in my office. That is going up. Take that, you clowns out in New York who thought you could just throw everything out there. And woe is me. I didn't say anything. Yeah. Take that, another W for my club.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What if I said, no, it was another Odyssey edict, like the recent one we received. And you know I handle those very well.
I missed that edict. Did that come right from Soros' desk?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, along with the talking points we get.
Sure.
The bumper music theme would end. How much time would it save you? First of all, I love the bumper music theme. And I probably would say it's been a good run, but I got to go, so it better not end. But how much time would it save you?
Bumper music theme appreciates you loving and appreciates you paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. Some days it's very easy because I've got, you know, I've been doing this for 3.5 years. A lot of songs
you're
to go to.
You're a bumper music vet.
Yeah, and let's be honest, there's sometimes we rehash a theme that we've had.
And it's
just
art.
Works out.
Yeah. It's art, too.
Yes. Sometimes, like today, I know I have a few painting themed songs in there that would work. Paint It Black, for instance. Of course, we've played that before.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to do some digging.
Congratulations, Maestro.
Thank you.
College parent Facebook groups when helicopter parents go too far. Well, first of all, I know where Jordana stands. We could call Jordana today. I mean,
you should always go to school with your child.
Behind
them in lecture halls.
I mean, she takes every day off if they come home from camp. If they need their nookie blanket, if they've got a fever, she's there. She's the total believer,
mm-hmm.
right? And by the way, she reflects plenty of people in this country. So as a story we both saw on USA Today, they packed their car, moved their kids in the dorm, but some college parents aren't ready to go, and Facebook is where it all plays out. One parent wanted to email their child's professors before the semester began to introduce themselves and open a line of communication. Another question, how to handle the daughter's boyfriend visiting her dorm and consider involving his parents. Others ask where they can check their child's grades. There's more of this. Okay. A 2019 poll, and I think it's way worse. Since 2019. I think COVID just accelerated it, okay? But this is from 6 years ago. 76 parents of kids 18 to 28 still remind their kids regularly of deadlines, schoolwork deadlines, and 74% of parents made appointments for their children. Give me example 651-461-9226. When they're now 18 and above, and they're not living with you, where lines are too far. Where are you kidding me? Do you want them back in your womb? And it's not just the women, because there's plenty of guys in this category. Do I think it's completely equal? I don't. Apparently, I'm a misogynist. Do you think it's
always been true?
Always been true. I'm just revealing it right here. Do you think we have more women inclined to do this than men?
No, Chad. I believe it's deadlocked 50-50.
Thank you. You want to play Helen Reddy? I am woman. Hear me roar. Okay. Introducing yourself to the professors. Your kid is at, let's just, if the greatest dream of your life has happened. The fulfillment of everything you had desired, and your kid was accepted at Arizona State University, the Harvard of the West. Now, for 99.99999% of you, you failed as parents. You won't get to that level with your kids.
Pipe dream.
Yeah.
Maybe Arizona.
Oh, get out of here. That's not enough tariffs on the University of Arizona. Okay. Doesn't even belong in the same sentence. I will sanction you. You might have to have timeout during the break.
I'm just saying that's a much easier school to get into than the state school.
Who would want to go to Tucson? Who would want
Sometimes it's your only option, Chad.
Oh, then there's no option. Okay. I say too far. If I'm reaching out to when Hunter and Griffin were in college and, hey, Professor Johansson, my son's in his econ class. Just wanted to introduce myself. Hell no. You with me?
I can only imagine the conversation you would have had calling your own father if Professor Johansson had told you, hey, Chad, step over here after class for a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just spoke to your dad the other day on the phone. He just wanted to say hi and introduce himself. And
oh, yeah. That would have been well. Yeah, my father had tendencies to dramatically overstep his bounds at times and eventually would learn that. If you somehow can go back to maybe a Chad Brera show or a Wolves game in the 90s and you feel my voice is not at its normal timbre, that's probably because I was screaming at him for an hour when he stepped over his bounds and often denying it when I had it down from the exact source. So, yeah, that would have been grounds for dismissal, parental dismissal. Okay, let me just tell you something. Oldest boy, if I would have reached out to Hunter's at – he didn't get into ASU, he didn't qualify. He had to settle for an engineering degree at Purdue. I'm still embarrassed.
That's a bummer.
I'm still embarrassed.
Yeah, that's no good.
Ridiculous. He would not have handled it very well either. Not well. You okay with that?
No. No, I'd be mortified.
No way. How about 21-year-old is at college – and now living with you, and you're still making their doctor's appointments. Where do you stand on that one?
Time to grow up. Time to grow up. We'll nag you. You got to get in, get a checkup, you know, whatever it is. But no, you're going to make your own appointments. And if you don't, you're going to have to live with that.
Someone I get along greatly is my ex-wife. We may have had that conversation repeatedly with our boys. 19, 20, 21. Mm. They're in college. They can make an appointment.
Still seeing the pediatrician?
Yeah. Yeah. Middle boy right now, Griff, I love you, but there's a doctor issue he has, and I remind him whenever that issue flares up, and I just kind of, okay? Okay, no, I'm not even thinking about calling the doctors. You know, he's making a bad mistake, I believe, and he should follow up. But he, adults.
But if you hear his gals coming over that night, you're going to contact her parents just to talk it out?
Yeah, how about that?
My goodness.
How about that? Reaching out to, who knows, maybe they're dating for a month, and somehow you get these connections. Okay, where do you stand? And let's pause here. Let's pause on this one. When your kids are now 20, 21, 22, 23, college, or they've graduated, jobs, trade school, working, whatever, but they're not just living at home anymore. And you've got the phone and you're with that. Is it the 360 thing? Where you know where your kids are.
Sure.
At all time. Where is that too far also? Give me other examples where you think parents with their kids, once they're above 18, are going too far. Or do you want to say, not at all. I'm still doing all this, and I am prepared to defend it, and I'm not changing. We'll come back after traffic weather on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Later in this segment, because this is about the time we get to Am I Wrong on Friday, I have to play Am I Wrong with myself. Phrased it that
first
way.
First time?
Phrased it that way intentionally for you, Dave.
Mm-hmm, thank you for that.
Just for you. Mm-hmm. Just for you. We're still talking parents going way too far once their kids are 18 and above. Dexter does nail it. Twins still couldn't win, you know. My sister-in-law still logs into her adult daughter's checking accounts at 34 and 36. Please. Please, 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 please.
Oh, boy.
If we're not dealing with an intellectual or physical challenge, tell your sister-in-law to start playing pickleball, to go for long walks, to do something else other than logging in on her daughter's. I mean, what, 50? When will she cut it off?
Death?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. If you're that worried, just put some money in without checking.
Suggesting that the parents' contact call is too far. The issue that it becomes, the son and daughter has a professor. It's their professor. That's my opinion. Now, here's a comeback. So I'm going to give you this before we respond. Sadly, college is very expensive. Inflation rate, et cetera, and high stakes drives this behavior for better or worse. That's an excellent text. That is. And for some, that's it. But let's be honest. For a lot of others, they basically never wanted their child to stop spooning with them. And they overparent incessantly, and they want to be their child's friend along with their role as a parent. And that is wrong, in my opinion.
It's kind of like youth sports, I guess, with the how they're saying that. You know, youth sports has been, you know, cost more than ever to put your kid in sports and traveling, whatever. So parents demand satisfaction. They demand what they want out of the exchange, right? It's becoming about them because they're so financially invested in it. Where the difference is, college is supposed to be the okay. This is real life now. It's not quite real life because you're still in school. You don't have all of the responsibilities of adulthood, but we're starting to put them on you now. Now's your 4 years, 5 years, however long it takes to get through, to actually learn how to handle maybe paying car insurance, buying gas, a little bit of rent, seeing what it's like to get in debt and how you're going to have to dig yourself out of it.
If you're just going over and above and doing borderline everything for them, where are they picking up those essential skill sets that you're talking about? And I 100% respect the costs involved in this. At some point, you're also allowed to say, this was me helping out or you doing it on your student loans, whatever it might be, but I'm involved in some way. And the way you've approached it the first year, the first semester, 2 years, I'm now out. I'm not going to remind you. I'm not going to do your homework. And this is from a father of a son with autism who will Quinny will never have a chance to go to college. So if there are health factors, if there are other things, of course, those are caveats. But if we're talking about a child who graduated high school and is pursuing this degree or is pursuing trade or not going to either, and you're just making all their appointments, getting all the groceries, reminding them daily, hourly, you're hurting them. I truly believe it. This is on Air Force One when there wasn't a question about the president's golf game and where he didn't bring up that he'd won 38 club championships. Big number. Big number. Probably be 48 next week. When I have been saying for how long? February 1st, 2029, Donald John Trump will still be the president of the United States. And Bannon picked up on it. You've tried to play a semantical game with me, and I'm saying somehow, some way, he's not leaving. So the president is asked, is this just trolling? Is this legit about a third term on Air Force One? So the audio isn't razor sharp.
I don't think he said that. I don't think he'd use that term. But it's a very interesting thing. I have the best numbers for any president in many years, any president. And I would say that if you read it, it's pretty clear. I'm not allowed to run. It's too bad.
Do I need to apologize to you right now?
Probably should. He's not allowed to run. He said it. It's too bad. He's given up. He's defeated.
Is that the classic cliche? Is that the Sherman-esque statement right there? Because he answered it. I saw the longer version. He answered it twice with kind of a smile, not like a winking, but like in a friendly exchange. You know, I'd like to, but I can't.
What can I do? That pesky Constitution always gets me.
Right. I don't think it's by no means, by no chance, do I think it's over. I don't. Do you think Mr. Donald Trump believes in the Constitution and the laws will prevent him? Do you think this was him acknowledging it?
100%, Chad.
Of course you do.
No, I caught a little Daily Show on Monday night. Jon Stewart had it right when Trump was asked a couple days ago over the weekend.
Yeah.
And his response was, I haven't really thought about it. I guess, you know, we could start looking into that. And, you know, Stewart stops the tape. He's already merchandised it. Exactly. What do you mean you haven't thought about it? You have the hats.
You have the hats. He's raising money for the ballroom.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't stop anybody from saying it. He shouldn't. He should respect the Constitution. And if you're going to say, oh, this is tedious, how do you handle that last time when he lost?
With grace? Dignity?
I forget who on one of the networks the other day was trying to convince the panelists that, hey, he lost last time and he left, and they just started laughing at him.
Gave Biden a hearty handshake at the doors of the White House. Give a little quick little tour.
Yes or no? Let's just make it this simple because we'll get to other things. Do you expect Donald Trump to make every effort to continue as the president of the United States when the term ends? Okay. Including leading up to the end of the term, everything. So, yes, you think he's going to try to continue and basically make himself president for life or no? You believe him. He just said, hey, come on. I read it. I can't go. I think that was about as legit as the Chauncey Billups poker games. That's how legit I think that was for Donald John Trump. I think he's stretchy. And I think all of us should do a little stretching. Is that like, should I vomit for that?
That was very
radio pukey.
Very pukey.
That was so pukey. That'd be program directors. Oh, that was great. Let's do that again. Stretch Lab is excellent for you. It is excellent for the tens of thousands in this city alone who visit StretchLab with regularity. Double figures in this town, around for a number of years. I've been a customer since 2019. A lot of friends of mine are customers. We talk about it in here. Hey, we're talking to Andy Luger the other day. He's talking about stretching. We have other guys go, I go to StretchLab also. Why do you go? Because it is so essential to your health. Move your body. Go for that long walk. Dave and I both saw a story today about how important one long walk is, more important than the traditional 10,000 steps. You know what is important also? Stretch for 10, 15 minutes a day. Do that on your own. As good as you think you are, you're not as good as the folks at StretchLab with the trained professionals, where they'll evaluate your body with technology and also listen to your feedback. Go right now for the 50-minute session, and you're going to go back. You're going to feel taller, feel better. StretchLab.com. Little Elton, among our good interviews recently, Paul Molitor yesterday was great on Game 3 of the World Series. He also talked about, I know, not as good as you. You know, you're still a bit indignant that I didn't just have you on as a guest. He also mentioned how he was at the big Starkey event. And Starkey just raising extraordinary large sums of money. And their goal still is to reach 1 billion individuals on the planet who have hearing issues. And among those entertainers, Kevin Costner and his band, and then Elton John. So last night, I sent Mr. Molitor probably art at its peak when Bill Shatner is talking / singing his way through Rocket Man.
Of course. Oh, it's one of the greats.
It's one of the greatest. Absolutely. Of all time. This
pre-flight.
Exactly.
0 hour.
Hold on.
9 a.m.
He's got the cigarette going.
And I'm going to be high as a kite.
Oh, my God.
By then.
It's really, really good. Can a president become vice president? Yes. But he said that idea is too cute. The idea of the topic makes me physically ill. Yes, he's going to run. Yes, he's going to run. No, Vance Rubio. Yes, he will try everything. Yes, that's a very Trump-like answer. Suggesting that we didn't get enough out of the parenting topic, and that's why we went, did this. We did two segments on it with a long list of texts. Was I supposed to do the entire show on it?
Yeah, a segment and a half.
I mean, come on.
Do better next time. Let's set it up a little better.
Okay. Here he is.
Hello.
A little late, I'd say.
Well, doing a big interview with Dwayne Davis.
I was impressed by his op-ed.
Yep. I think he, and you'll hear more about this at 5:20, but he is frustrated that, and he's frustrated at the media. And I think he's right that the campaign is presented as Jacob Fry against these three socialists. And really, or it's Jacob Fry against Omar Fateh, socialist. And then there's these other two guys who are teaming up with Omar to try to stick it to Jacob Fry. Where really, you could vote, you know, these are four pretty different candidates in terms of experience and perspective. Minneapolis made this complicated by doing ranked choice voting.
Yeah. I want to get into some of the more ranked choice voting part of it tomorrow on my show. But don't you think Davis and Hampton have brought this on when they're saying rank us in whatever order you want, but make sure you either don't rank Fry or he's fourth?
He's saying that is more of the framing that advocacy groups have put in this race.
They're appearing in these photos. And
he says he didn't spend any money on any of that stuff. That is the Minneapolis for the two groups.
We have the two
whichever
groups.
Whichever it is.
Yeah, right. All Minneapolis, whatever.
You know, I think it's difficult if you don't go negative against your opponent. Mm-hmm. When you're just trying to say in a positive way, here's why. Like I asked him, like, well, why are you better than Omar Fateh?
Yeah. What did he say?
And he said, I have more executive experience. He said, I think he's better as a state senator. But, like, that hasn't really been the campaign. I do think the media, not us, were amazing. Yeah. But the regular media, those, I think it's sort of a fair rip.
I think it's both. They've created this scenario.
Well, they sort of have to allow.
I don't think they do.
How else do you do it in ranked choice? You never get the votes. Yeah.
I think they should have stood out more myself.
Yeah, maybe.
I also think Omar could answer a question directly every once in a while. That doesn't happen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.